one where they have the cartoon episode?
No. They started to go. They got across the boundary, and they were walking around in the where Walternate ran the show, Secretary of Defense. And there were dirigibles in that New York City. And so we saw that, and then about a few days later, a week later, on Ed Long's Information Farm, he had dirigibles, and then he had five tall figures, which were, you know, I don't know where they were from, but it turned out they were from her video. And I'm thinking it's the giants. This is after Sheila, you know, caused the Iceland volcano and other gigantic things that were happening. And Carolyn was being a giant. So I was projecting this stuff. Remember, Eddie had this design there for a few weeks or months, and then he had to stop it because the flash jack wasn't used in the new Steve Jobs phone, so people couldn't absorb his flashy front or, you know, big design, so he went simple. But that was the last kind of designs he had, were these monsters looming over New York City and dirigibles. He probably got the idea from Fringe.
Okay, yeah, I vaguely remember that. There was, like, these cartoon monster things on his homepage.
Right. Yep. Looming over Manhattan, which could have been the Fringe characters looming over Manhattan, but we were adapting it to Ionettes. We were projecting Ionettes in there.
Right. So I was also thinking, you know when they do the episode 19 of Fringe in the second last season?
First season?
No. I know, but they do the cartoon episode second last season, and the whole thing is like animated, and then part of it they end up in.
Isn't it LSD?
Yeah. It has like there's some kind of filter on the video. It looks cartoonish, and then they end up in the blimp. They end up inside one of the blimps.
Right. That's right. That's interesting. Tie it back to the earlier episodes with the blimps.
Yeah. So you were just saying that there's a connection between what was on Fringe and at that time what was going on with Ionettes?
Yeah, like supposedly Sheila knocked out the, she was leaving Paris and then the planes were all shut down because the Iceland volcano went off. So Ion said that Sheila triggered that volcano because she wanted to stay in Paris a few more days. And then there was some other stuff happening on Wall Street, which involved Ionettes. So we were stirring up a lot of things. Now, today, it's easier to understand with the ice cell coming through from other worlds, from the perfect world, and just, you know, taking over this dimension is real simple. That's why we've knocked off the envelope of global warming, the carbon dioxide stuff. We are monsters, obviously, now, but back then we didn't even have the drop, so it was a bit of a stretch to think of that. But Ion was ahead of his time and knew what we were, and especially once we started using the drops, it was game over for normal reality. And the giant Rumpelstiltskins were changing this world. And that's happened over the last 2 years intensely to now, right now, where Carol and I and JW are stirring up the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, I remember the volcano thing because that was the day after I landed in Ireland. So I got there just in time. If I would have left to go to Ireland like a day later, I wouldn't have made it in.
Yeah.
Who was Pat Patrick?
Pat Patrick was one of the saxophonists of longtime players with Sun Ra. I think that's his name, Pat Patrick.
That's Noah's dad's name.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were talking about Sun Ra earlier. Have you listened to the Sun Ra thing?
Where Ion does what? I haven't listened to that.
He explained how Sun Ra was not lying when he said he was from Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is. Laura Dean Pat Patrick was a long-term member of the Sun Ra Orchestra. That's what I'm thinking of, Pat Patrick. So I'm going to go on to the next thing, because nobody has anything to say. We have much to play tonight before Eben. You're all invited to be. But what was that cough? Who's that?
I don't know who coughed, but I'm asking. a question.
Go ahead.
So you're stirring up things in the Pacific. Is that why those islands are being created?
Yes. Many storms and tornadoes and destruction. It's part of the effects of some of the projects we're doing. Which, if you listen to the beginning of my Cold Fusion interview in December 2012 with Robin of coldfusionnow.org, you'd be able to put two and two together.
Okay, I'll listen to that again.
Yeah, I come up blasting at the beginning of the interview. So what was I saying? So the,
a volcano erupting, and it's erupting under the sea, and it's creating an island.
Yeah, if you remember, I played 6 months ago, Ion talking about the changes we were causing in the north of Hawaii, the release of something in the water. What was that, Carolyn? The churning up started in...
Red tide?
No, that's over the other place. You know, the magnesium or something, the shoots of some poison coming out of the sea?
Oh, yeah. Was it methane?
Methane, yeah. Ian talks about that, a few months ago. That was like a smaller level. But the seas around Hawaii were changing, in north of Hawaii.
Bob, we got a look at Ian and Bob's website, because Ed has a timeline here saying that in 4 hours you're going to be doing the Los Angeles event. But that's not true. Evan's not until 2 a.m., right?
Yeah, it looked odd, but I think it's right. Doesn't it say 10?
Oh, you know what? It's showing Pacific. It must be showing Pacific time.
It's Pacific time, Carol.
Yeah, okay. So it's 2 hours off for us, so I'm trying to... Okay, good. Thanks, Chad.
Okay, so is that
you're
it?
Welcome.
I want to get on some more stuff. Are you guys, anything else you want to say?
No, if you
want to
play.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to two. So that was May 15th, 2010, session number 273. Now we're going to do 275, an interesting section about Carolyn, 275.
What's the date?
It's going to be May 17th, 2010.
When was the Gulf? When did the...
around this time, April, May, June 2010, in this period, the Gulf of Mexico starts. Okay, so we got a 275 starting at 29:44. What?
Oh, Angela's just talking in the background here.
Okay. So, 29:44.
Angela says congratulations to you, Bob, on your marathon.
Well, I owe it all to you, Angela. You gave me a sense of freedom, and of course I believed in myself. You taught me about freedom in March, running through the back athletic fields of the University of British Columbia. Never had I felt so free from the strains and stresses of civilization, and I ran right through a mud puddle, and it didn't bother me one bit.
And I'm going to a party, but they thought I
What'd she say?
Then you went to the particle accelerator.
Then we went to the particle accelerator and destroyed the archetype of modern science. This is the thing, Jim. Our stuff is so fucking powerful. These are accelerators are trying to do what we're doing. The other day, Ian was saying that the refinement of our products will be so tiny that regular science will decide that it's antimatter. And you got CERN and them trying to figure out antimatter and do something with it. They're going to realize that our products are antimatter, and we made it through another method. It won't be antimatter, but they'll think it's so small it can only be antimatter in their terms.
Mm-hmm. Any Matter is the catch-all for their mystery landscape.
Right, right. Okay, so 20...
She's trying to start up a recording right now.
Awesome.
Angela says you should call Guinness to monitor you. He doesn't like that, though.
They have terrible rules. The guy who did 8 days, he had time. He could only talk for like 6 minutes, and then he had to play records, and that was time. It was all like fragmented, no spontaneity. So fuck that. What's the point of doing that? That's no fun. And you're monitored by the geek. So no. Perfect. The point is to do it for fun, not to break a record. Okay, so I'm gonna unmute you guys, and we'll see you in. And what this will be about 20 minutes or so. That's pretty interesting. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
29:44. May 17, 2010. Session 275.
When it started to take off and people see it's something, can Carolyn say, now watch how something worse will come along and even predict the disease-making process?
Yeah. She'll do it just like the big bad wolf that's blowing everybody's house down now. She'll come in and say, okay, we straighten this out. Now something worse than cancer's coming, and I'm ahead of it, and I'm going to show you how that works too. And then she's going to say, all right, Pfizer, stand back and watch the miracle-working power of an ever-loving God. Oh, yeah, I wasn't qualified to play with you, but I'm going to be the one that's going to help you.
That is beautiful. Is this in? I like the theatrical part of this. That's good. We can do that? She can do that?
She will. She will. And, yeah, been come into the first symposium and pass out Snicker bars to everybody.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
No, she likes that.
Yeah, it's fun. A little Obama M&M.
Right. Yeah, now, the other thing is, does Carolyn at any time talk about how she got, well, mostly got most of it from Ion?
She pleases. It's up to her. It's all right. We're good. We want the human creators to be whole. Really, really, really. That's at the end of the day, that's all it is. And if that comes, they're going to ask, and if she decides that suits her that way, she will. She'll say, I found bumped into this crazy thing, and it got me into my own power. And it became so obvious that the solution showed up for me the same time the problem did. And because that, and it works, I don't know how, I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is if they'll drag your meat sack to me, and I'll hook you up, and you'll get better.
Okay, good. And then the other thing is, I can understand why Ion didn't tell Carolyn this, you know, within the first month last year that Ion showed up. But tell me why you didn't, or if that was a factor, or what? Why
she wasn't hearing it. It's like when we were searching for words. If they're not in her vernacular, then they won't resonate with her. And then it becomes our creation rather than her manifestation.
Right. So, well, I see that you didn't create, but she wouldn't have thought of any of this unless Ion told her.
Yes, she would have. It wouldn't have come up if she hadn't have thought it.
Oh, okay. You mean that this whole answer for cancer wouldn't have come up if she hadn't have thought it?
The whole process that she's gone through, that she's going to find a way. Carolyn's deal, now, since before she could remember, has been, I will find a way. I don't know the way, but I'll find it.
When did she start thinking that? You say when she was a very young girl?
Yep, I'll find a way.
Was it in terms of medicine?
No, Bob. Only power.
I'll find a way to get my power.
I'll find a way. I will figure it out. I've done it lots of ways, and I've now thoroughly established what doesn't work, and I'm going to do what does.
So you're saying I'll find a way to...
Now, we could say cheekily, by process of elimination, but that's okay, because that's what gets you to the place for right now, right here.
Right.
So, and then we're going to up the ante again. And then since you're asking Bob, now Carolyn, you didn't ask this, but Bob did.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're asking Bob, then that's where the axiom water comes from. That you're going to have to up the ante of how the RNA picks up the ability to have the communication that travels through vis-a-vis the RNA to chromosome 14 to affect the helix, the double helix, and it splits between the arms and the rings. Then you're going to up the ante then, and then you're going to get to double your magnesium, honey, and you're going to get the angstrom size level to calculate to penetrate that actual cell. And that's when you're going to start growing new bones. And then when you get tired of growing, people go, well, I got bones, but I got no meat on it. I got no feeling. I got no nothing. Okay. That's when you're going to up the dextrose again. And that's when you're going to make a super RNA to such a degree that the actual chromosome itself will become not visible under the microscope and recognized as a double helix genotype. When you get through. When heaven is on earth as it is in heaven, you won't recognize a whole lot of crap that's in your meat sack right now.
Hmm. And I created that one. I created the axiom of water.
So the double helix. Okay, fine, Bob. The double helix as we know it now is split.
Is that what you said?
Oh, my gosh.
Pentad?
Mm-hmm.
My pentad?
Mm-hmm.
No, Carol, my pentad?
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It's in your F and chart. Why would it not be?
So, Pete, that's the super genome.
But now you hold that one to yourself, because they'll poke you in a box.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put you in a box or poke you in a box?
Poke you, put you in a cage in the circus and poke a stick at you.
Well,
say that until it becomes
obvious. Apparent. Becomes obvious. You mean the pentad aspect?
Yeah, the pentad aspect of RNA. What you'll call it is super neutrino RNA capacity.
So I created the water aspect.
You created all of it, Bob, because of Carolyn.
Because of Carolyn, so. No, I was just thinking that I'm always on about the D-cell water, and I sort of mentioned it. So I talk about it more in Carolyn. So do I. The alignment, I did a little more of the impetus to create this water that heals our bones more than Carolyn, or it's always both of us in both cases.
Well, what?
No, because you said, this is yours, Bob, just the way you began.
You asked the question, and that's why you got that answer, right? And Carolyn didn't ask that question, you did.
Right.
That's where it came from, was from your asking. That's good.
So I was discussing with Scott Norris last night about the Bob and I and Squeeze the Lemon of Thought, and we got ourselves into thinking, or I was thinking how every thought you thought has already been thought, and there's no beginning.
Oh.
That's why you can...
No. Every thought that has been thought is thunk. But every thought's not already been thought. Otherwise, then you'd be thinking the thought.
Oh, okay. So that's good.
That's good. Now, this is the same way as far as indoctrinating this process, Carolyn. Because, you're going beyond what's been thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this has already been thought, then it's just regurgitation,
mm-hmm.
projectile or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Bob, that's me. Damn. Go back to bed, Bob, or don't go to back to bed. You get up just fresh. We're going to start with you early in the morning because you're spot on here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
His thought, concept of questioning of his thinking is exactly the prototype that you're laying out here.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it this way. And that's not serving you. So the new thought is this way and will, but we're already going to tell you that this new thought in its completion is going to rot something what you call worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have that solution as well.
Then it's going to be worse.
So then at the end of the day, it's be do your damnedest. Don't
so
worry.
Each time they come up with something worse, I'll have to cure cancer, they'll come worse, and we'll have the solution for that.
It'll be. We already told you what it's going to be: the super MRSA.
Well, okay. It's almost like we're replaying the gods of Olympus. They're our little Maui town, I am here, will be considered gods temporarily by people.
Yeah.
And that's okay, I guess. We won't care.
We won't notice. You won't notice.
Right. Maybe Carolyn's already treated like a god by some people, isn't she?
She says no. Well, she certainly is.
About Carolyn, so why you did not tell us right away, because we had to get mutated.
You were activating.
Yeah, you know, when, at the beginning a year ago, we had to get activated. It took us a few months.
Listening.
And about when did we start listening? A couple months?
When the spaceship showed up and you could see yourself in the spaceship, and that kind of got to be whimsical, and some little doolollies were kind of kicking in. And Carolyn's fussing because she couldn't remember, and fussing because she's having these dreams, and she wanted to recall her dreams, and fussing because she wanted to be more than, and everything had been pushing against her, and she was coming to her power, and that everything could work out for her the way she wanted it without anybody else's interference or activation to make her power enough. And then in coming into her power, and you didn't know, you didn't care, it made no difference to you, Bob, you'd have never noticed. It was all gravy for you. So that process was real easy for you because you just be bopping along. It didn't make no difference. But for Carolyn, it was like, no. If this works at all, it should work completely. If it's not going to work at all, why are we screwing with it?
Right. So I kind of get it by default.
Well, now that's not a nice way. We don't use that word kindly most
right,
of you listen to us long. But in your particular case, it's not a problem because your default still does not judge or lay claim to the creation. There are many who create by default, and then when the default hits them, then they get all weird because of this awful thing they've created or allowed to be manifested in their reality. Even if something nasty happens to you by default, Bob, it's not nasty to you. So that's why your default is okay. Because you're still going to have questions, even if it's the best thing ever, 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 ever.
Right. Okay.
You still lay no judgment to it.
No judgment to it, right.
I made it all up. It came true anyway.
Okay. You guys haven't finished the patent process yet, have you, Carolyn?
I can't hear you, Bob.
You're still doing the patent?
You have to talk.
Still doing the patent?
Yeah.
Okay. So we begin tonight probably around 6 my time, maybe 5:30. We're going to go with Ed, and we're going to clear up all that fringe stuff, all those Dolores Cannons and all the different fringe experts.
Okay. Here's how it's going to be. You're going to lay out who it is. You're going to lay out what they have to say, and then we'll speak to it. If you do it in a form of a question and not just like, well, did Dolores Cannon have an orgasm when she had her baby? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about lay out what they say, the dynamics that you have a question regarding.
Yeah, no, that's what we're doing. Ed is going through his archive, making little tape-recorded excerpts, and we'll play them to you.
Yes, now that's right. Because what that does is it does two things. It syncs Ed up and you up.
Right.
And syncing you up is important to keep it in track. Well, syncing it up for Ed makes it so it can flow because he'll stop. He won't have a question. He just won't know to ask anymore, so he's done. Well, you're never done.
Right.
That reins you in and brings him out.
Right.
So you do your excerpts, and then we'll certainly engage, and then you can have questions about even our aspect of it and the dynamic of what maybe is not known regarding these things.
Yeah. No, that's what we want to do, which will become an amazing archive in itself, because Ed says there's lots of intelligent people out there who are trying to find answers, and they don't really know what's true, and they don't know...
Well, they're trying to find answers, but they don't even know what the effing questions are.
Right. Okay, so that's very good. Is there any...
Do you have a 4 today?
A 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. What time is it, Carol?
9:06.
Yeah, we have a 4. We do have a 4. All right, go get ready. Thank you very... Okay, so that's all pretty exciting, Carol. You're going to one-up the... So, but I just see that... The theatrical part is Karen plays with it.
Yes, Bob, you've said that a million times.
Well, that's the fun part is the way
she... How can I not play with it with you behind me?
Oh, okay. So, no problem with that,
AI. How was Dan yesterday? Did he decide to survive another day?
He did join up to the forum, so I think he did, he was okay, because, you know, he could...
It was very radical for him.
Yeah, I noticed. He went quiet. He was shocked, right?
Well, that's the activation process. But if you've noticed, we're not quite as genteel as once upon Midnight Dreary.
Yeah, the I talked to Steve in Toronto, the guy that stayed here a year ago, and he has joined up. And while we were talking, getting it registered, you showed up. We saw you come in. I guess you were, I don't know if you were listening to us or just doing your own surveillance of the site. No question there. Were you engaging with us or just doing your own thing?
What's the difference?
Okay. So, and then after I finished with Steve and I went to bed just before, I noticed you'd gone off. So you only stayed a little bit. And I noticed you haven't been posting at all
much. You told us to quit, so we did.
No, that's good. That's good. And someone, Scott, noticed it. I hasn't posted the last 24 hours. But I am getting forwards from notices that Ion is posting, so you've been posting a little bit here and there, correct?
Yes, and if something is, if somebody's going to go slit their throat, we do private message them to talk them down so that they come off the DTs from an ionic experience.
It's already affecting them that Ion isn't there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's that. Okay.
All participants are now unmuted.
I'm going to wait around and be there and come with us to Los Angeles. Who's coming to L.A.?
One-way ticket to Bobstown, please.
Yeah.
How do we do that? How do we do that? Are you taking the whole room?
No, you just stay here. Evan's bringing the show to here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That'll be at that'll be in 3.5 hours. So I think what I'll do, if nobody's going to talk about anything, you're welcome to talk. I think I'll bring up a rewrite and start the rewrite.
Ooh.
What are you laughing at, Carol?
It's almost over.
Yeah, Carol's.
Did you say it's almost over?
You said it's almost over.
Yeah,
she had a very tough
half week. Half week. I had to curtail everything else in my life. You have no idea what's been building up. More Chad May.
Bob neglecting his cleaning duties?
No. Get the garbage all out. He does the dishes. He makes the bed.
I guess what's been interrupting is I've been down here in Carolyn's floor the whole time. Normally, I'm not down.
No.
Well, it's crazily enough, we only have the one telephone line here, so I couldn't do any consultations. But, I mean, it's been great because I've spent more time on the phone than I ever have, you know, and payday, I'm not really there even that much. So it's been a lot of fun. Great interaction, a lot of good energy.
Yeah, a lot of laughs. It's actually quite a masterpiece of production of theater and ritual and awesome archives. It really was a perfect.
So did you go to the beach at all this week?
No.
No?
I went to the beach last Wednesday, well, a week ago, and I thought, well, I didn't get hurt, and everybody's expectations are high. What if I go to the beach on Thursday and get hurt for some reason? So I didn't go to the beach on Thursday. So I just hid home from snipers and that and laid low. And so I didn't go to the beach Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I don't know if I'll get to the beach tomorrow. It depends how long the show goes.
That's what I was going to ask, Bob. Do you know if you're going to stop right after Evan's show ends?
It depends. I'm going to do this rewrite, and that's 6 hours or something, and then I'll see what Evan wants to play. There might be some evergreen stuff that I want to play. I'm not sure. I'll be checking that out over the next 6 hours.
How long is the next rewrite you want to play?
Did you say the six next hours? Rewrite? Did you say the next?
You said you wanted to play a rewrite. How long
is
it?
Well, let's see.
Because you've only got 3 hours to Evan. Evan then is an hour and a half, and you're supposed to end then.
Yeah.
There's no time.
Golly, yeah.
So
I noticed.
Yeah. So the first, if I keep going by myself, it doesn't bother anybody. Rewrite number one, October 20th, 2010. It's 6 hours long. It's 4 seconds short of 6 hours, and it's Brian, Ginny, Greg, Bob and I on. So, where is the recording? Do I have it, Carolyn, or is it in your scene? Let me pull up the stuff.
And how long is Evan's show?
Hour and a half.
She's cut back because she's now doing...
Oh, is she doing you the whole 90 minutes or just an hour?
Yeah, I assume, yeah. And she does law school or something. She's not a radio person so much anymore.
She's in law school?
We have at least 7.5 hours.
At least 7.5 hours. Yeah, but we only get 3 hours. Here, I get 3 hours till 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then if I want to keep going with the rewrite, I'll do it after the show for another 3 hours. And that'll get me into 1:30 or 4:30, and then I could maybe do one more evergreen. So I can go until... I can go a whole another day if I want to.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not getting you any more ice cream.
Well, there's one more there. It's no problem. So
there isn't
going to
be anybody left, Bob. You're going to be the only one left in the whole
world.
Well,
that should tell us something. That'll tell us something.
Denny will be here. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Denny will be here.
Denny is my stalker.
Denny! You and Denny!
And Chris. Don't forget Chris.
Yeah, Chris. He's here.
Denny's grandson.
Oh, yeah, right. So,
yes.
October 20th.
Three.
There it is. October 20th, rewrite.
You got it?
Yeah, let's see how it starts.
What year?
I beg your pardon?
October 20th of what year?
2010.
Thank you.
This is when the RNA drops are getting ready to be public. We'll start consuming it a month later, and then things really start to change. So we will zap this over here into the QuickTime. It takes... 14 seconds to download. Now, this may be not perfect quality because it was probably done through the telephone, the old speaker system. We'll see. I don't think we were doing the conference call right then. Oh,
no.
Maybe we were. What?
I don't...
Maybe very bad quality.
Yep.
For 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours. This is the first time, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We were just going to basically... pick Brian's brain since he had listened to it several times by that. He was the one who had listened to the most.
Well, can you stop it every half hour so people can discuss it a bit?
Yeah.
Good.
Or they can email me.
12 hours, it's double that, 6. What was it? 7.5 times 2 is 14.
What are you doing?
She's putting her economics into effect. Running the numbers. Stop running the numbers.
I mean, ideally, I would go for 144 hours. I'd like to get the number 144, but I don't know if I will.
Yeah, Roxana Facebooked me, and she said, "It's almost over. It's been great. Awesome archive." I have to email her and tell her the bad news.
Yeah, Bob refuses to step
down. Bob refuses.
I'm doing a Rob Ford.
Step away from the computer.
Yes, I'm going to do a lockdown. What is it? Filibuster.
Oh.
Okay, here goes. What time is it? 8:34.
Mute.
Okay, this is session one of.
I forgot to mute. That's right. You got to mute you guys. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
And there's only about 8 people here listening. Here we go.
Okay, this is session one of Revelations in Joy, being recorded on October 20th. Copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at, get this, 1:44 p.m. Hawaii time. So that's appropriate. And just became 1:45. We just made it in there. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Okay. I'm going to put this on mute and get out of the room. Okay, so what's an issue either Virginia or Brian? It can be a pressing issue right now. Do you want to go into the wind, Brian? What the heck is the wind?
Well, I'm still figuring that out.
Well, this is your forum to figure it out.
Yeah, start saying your questions or what you think it is. I'm going to go click on my King James Version. What version online are you using, Greg and Virginia and Brian?
I have a Bible in my hand.
Oh, okay. What do you got, Greg?
Just whatever shows up on Google. It's usually the King James, Bob.
Right. Are you using the Bartleby.com version?
Gosh, I wouldn't know.
Okay, it's just... At the top, you see the URL for whatever you're looking at. It should be Bartleby.com and then whatever specific thing. That's what Ed Long gave me, and that's what I used for the original recording. It's pretty good, but I don't know how to get other parts, but we aren't doing other parts. So I've got all the revelations here, and I'll just click on whatever part we're going into. So where is the wind? What chapter is that in, Brian?
Chapter
7, okay.
Your first encounter with the wind is in 7, and then it, well, of course, it's in 3, and there may be places, but I know in 7, that's where 144,000, that's where your first.
That's right. It's in the version, the King James Version online, Bartleby Version. It has chapter 7, and the first section is titled 144,000 Sealed. Now, Ion, when we went through it, would sometimes correct the Google statement here, but it says 144,000 Sealed, and verse 1, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, when we were doing the recordings on this, Brian told me later when he first heard them, he's yelling, Bob, what's the wind? What's the wind? And I never asked about the wind at that point. I think we found out later, and Ion told me that we didn't emphasize it then because there was more to say later. So just to get a dialogue going, Ginny, I should say this. The people present here are, do we want last names said or keep it secret?
First names are fine.
Okay, so we have Greg, Virginia, who we call Ginny, and Brian and Bob and Ion. So we're beginning with 5 voices. So, Ginny, what did they say the wind was about, you know, in your day?
I thought the wind was the opening of the portals, and that happened on April 15th.
Right, but I'm saying what did you teach, if anything, how was this traditionally interpreted?
It was literally interpreted... The wind. I mean, literally, just air moving. I mean, it wasn't interpreted. It was a sign of nature. It wasn't a sign of any other thing.
So that you would read it that the angels were guiding the wind, sort of. They were part of the structure. They stood in the four corners and watched the wind blow or something. They were holding the wind.
They were holding it back. Now, you could also say that the wind would be the judgment. If angels have to hold or contain something, a lot of times it had to do with something that would be negative, like maybe they would say, oh, it was the judgment of God or the wrath of God or something that would be, the angels would have to be intervening on behalf of mankind.
Right. And so I'm looking through the rest of the first part. Do they talk about the wind being unleashed? Do they let it go in this section?
Let me look and see.
I don't see that.
Well, it says, and it says, I saw another angel saying, hurt not the earth, the sea, the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And then it goes on to the 144,000.
And that's the first time the 144,000 are mentioned?
Yes.
Right. So then the question is, who are these 144,000? Would be the, we'll call it the conventional way of reading it, the human projection. Who are these people? Go ahead, Brian.
Well, we already know this. They're not people.
Yeah, the 144,000 was originally the tribes of Israel, or the numbers referring to the tribes of Israel, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12.
Well, that's people. Tribes are people.
Yes.
You mean they're not persons?
Never thought of that. Maybe, yes.
I mean, so Brian's saying they're not people. You didn't mean that, Brian. I mean, they're tribes.
They're not people,
no,
Bob.
We're not talking about what we're going to learn from Ion yet. We're just trying to say what it was.
Oh, you're trying to lay out the false premise that they got from it, from here, of what John was trying to hold a marker place. And he used words or language to set the marker. And before there's a cleanup, this is based on where you are. Okay, very good.
Yeah, we should stay.
Okay, so the original, if you would say the original, if you would say the original teaching of the church would be that here is here are the angels, and they're holding back the wind, and that they would not blow on the earth or the sea or on any tree. Okay, so the angels are basically holding back any kind of, like, quote-unquote, a disaster.
Yeah.
And it says, here comes another angel having the seal of the living God, and he cries to the four angels. So he's speaking directly to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the sea and the earth. And what he's saying is, don't let go of the wind until all the servants of God have the seal in their forehead, and they number those which were sealed, and there's 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel were the children who were born of the line of Jacob. That's what they would say.
Mm-hmm.
Who had Isaac as their son, as his son.
Right.
Hey, Ion, please refrain from saying, right, very good. Just give us no judgmental calls. I would ask you to be behind as much as, not saying much, at least the beginning, as much as possible. Like, don't say anything. We're not interested in your opinion yet. We're only interested in when we need to get it corrected. You follow that, Ion? Because you don't need to comment on what we're saying.
Well, hold on.
We have an input here, don't we?
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
All I would say about that, Bob, though, is that Ion has a much more broad perspective of what would be being said in the quote-unquote churches. And so if I'm off in my rendition of what I'm saying, I think it would be helpful for Ion to say, well, hold on, wait a minute.
Agreed.
What about this? So if we're going to lay down what the common interpretation is across the board, because you could even go on and get even more specific to what Jehovah's Witnesses say, because they have a take on it, and this and that, and then there's the Catholic Church, and so, I mean, just in a broad way, if I say this is what would be said, if I says right, that's right, okay, good, then what we're representing is a significant population of believers have been brought under this kind of an indoctrination, and I think Ion confirming that would be okay.
Yeah, it's like,
but
you
not,
say...
But not...
No, Ion, please stay. Well, listen, look, it's us four talking. And when Ginny says something, me and Brian and Greg want to find out what Ginny means. It may be wrong what Ginny's saying, it may be right. Let us work out what the heck we're talking about before you come in and clean it up. You're interrupting. I mean, I want to respond to what Ginny said. And I don't say that what I'm saying is right. I don't know if what Ginny said right, but I want to respond to her words. And what I was going to say is, if I was looking at this thing, I read it for the first time, I'm going to say, oh, there's 144,000. There's some kind of special people. And then, and I heard someone the other day on the radio say that in the end, you know, at the second coming, 144,000 will be saved. You know, that's what one would think as you're reading this. Now, of course, there is what Ion will tell us, has told us, and we've all heard it, what it is actually referring to. But let's work out what we think it is before Ion interrupts and clarifies. This is for wandering in the desert dialogue among us.
Okay, so if you were going back to, yes, there are people who would get on the phone and say 144,000 would be saved, that was the original premise of the Jehovah's Witnesses, that this guy had this revelation that this 144,000 would be saved. And when they originally started building their religion, they, you know, two or three people, and they're thinking, wow, we got 100. Well, when they started to eclipse 144,000, then they got into a bit of a problem, because now the Jehovah's Witnesses are millions and millions of people, and they're like, oh, fuck, okay.
So did they have internecine warfare among themselves about who would be the 144,000? Did that happen among them?
Guaranteed.
I'm sure it did, because it's all authoritative. So, I mean, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but, you know, they run around. And the thing about the Jehovah's Witnesses is their premise is that the kingdom does come into earth. The earth will be restored, but only 144,000 will be saved, and you're saved mostly by your works, which is an authoritative standard.
Yeah.
So because it gives you a measurement about whether or not you're good or bad or right or wrong or blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's refer, the Catholic Church had the first go at it. What did they think? Do you know what their dogma was about this?
I don't know, but we can find out.
Okay, I'm just passing. If we haven't got it, it's okay.
Virginia's on the computer, Bob, so it won't be.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sure they have it in their catechism.
Right, and so are the Jehovah's Witnesses unique by limiting it to 144,000, making a big issue out of that?
No, because it does it in, I mean, from Catholicism, which is kind of also, you've got the 7-day Adventists, which is different than just Jehovah's Witnesses. They have that. Let me look at the Catholic Catechism. But there's 144,000 places in heaven, according to the Catholics.
Okay. So it's an odd idea.
And also in some of the Primitive Baptist or the Southern Baptist, the old regime, they stuck to the 144,000 as well.
Okay, so this is what it says. First of all 100, oh, hey, this is a good point. Yeah, I'm glad I brought this up. So all 144,000 people have to be quote-unquote Jews. That's right, thank you. They have to be Jewish because they come from the original quote-unquote tribes, and they are sealed to stay on the earth after the rapture, and so they go around for 3.5 years evangelizing the earth, because they are the Jews that have been empowered. And then the New Jerusalem descends from heaven after the 144,000 have 3.5 years to go around and evangelize. So this is why there's also this huge messianic movement in the evangelical church, which they think their job is to get Jews saved.
Yes, because the Baptists, the newer Baptists, believe that the Jews are the chosen one, can do no wrong, and they will, quote, aid the Baptists in doing their thing. So even though the Jews aren't Baptists, the Baptists revel the Jews.
Yeah, and when they say Jews, they don't mean the citizens of Israel, of the nation of Israel.
Just the Jewish faith, I believe. The
Jewish
Baptists
faith.
I've talked.
They're into being Jews, so to speak?
No, the Baptists will stay Baptist, but the Baptists revere the Jews because they, in their doctrine, say the Jews are the chosen one.
They accept that?
Yeah. The Baptists that I've talked to do, yes.
Yeah, so that's why in the Reagan era, the fundamentalist Christians that supported Reagan, they were big supporters of Israel. Right?
Oh, well, everybody thinks that... I mean, Israel is, I mean, even the Mount of Olives, where the one foot is on the earth and one foot is on the sea, and, you know, where the Dome of the Rock is. And, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff about where that is and the parallels and, I mean, all the rest of it. So they think Christ is returning to that physical space.
Okay, so... One reads this, you can understand the early reader says, oh, this is a bunch of elite people, and I hope I'm part of that team and all that. And is this the section where Ion first brings in the DNA stuff? Does he mention it in Chapter 7? Do you remember, Brian?
Yes, this is where because I remember when you got there, he brought up DNA, and you went on, and then you were rambling, and then you stopped, and you said, did you say DNA? He's like, yes. DNA, because that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm going, how the hell can they know about modern science? You know, I probably had some kind of objection like that, right? I recall saying something. It was preposterous.
If I remember correctly, you had a big big resistance to that.
Yeah, I said, Jesus Christ. I thought, Jesus Christ. I thought, this is fucking Ion trying to claim to bring this stupid old document up to date. So he said, yeah, New York City's in here. You know, I thought that was really arbitrary and a hoax. And I'm saying, how the heck can one see the DNA in here? Now, I don't want to ask Ion yet, but Brian, where's the proof that it refers to that in here?
Just as when you went through it, Bob, the first time, and this very came up, it's like, okay, how from the words that are written in this book, in the Bible, in Revelation, how are you getting from these words that are written to DNA? And at that point, you're not into the later chapters yet, you know, Ion's response is, it will all play out thoroughly. We're going to overlay this, and we're going to overlay it, and you'll see without a doubt that that's what they're talking about. And you just got to go with it.
Right. Like he does not approve it right then. He says, this is what you're going to find out, and we'll get there. Okay. So,
okay, so the challenge is how does it, quote-unquote, prove out that it's not DNA? Okay, but just the premise that's being asserted right now, that only 144,000 people go to heaven with 7 billion people on the planet is so profoundly retarded.
Yeah.
You know, that on that sense, when you're looking at it, you're thinking, well, my gosh, how would that be? Then, you can see, okay, well, there's got to be something else because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and so, you know, people didn't think about the Bible until they could read themselves. So then you start to read it in the West, and then they start noticing these things. And then you have popular education in, 150 years ago. The average citizen is going to say, this is stupid, right? You can understand why that interpretation of the Bible would weaken the church authority. I mean,
one caveat to add is the Pentecostal or the charismatic movement. They started speaking of Israel. They deferred between natural Israel, like the country, because see, up into the 50s, there wasn't no Israel.
Right.
There wasn't an Israel. It wasn't even a country. So they deferred it into natural Israel and spiritual Israel. They tried to make it a woo-woo thing so that more had a chance to embrace. Because, Israel had come up with anything, and then you're supporting Israel, so now all of a sudden, do any crazy thing you want. No, wait a minute. But that's how they divided it for you.
Right. In other words, the children of Israel, for most people, for 2,000 years, they didn't know where that was. It was a nebulous place to project into.
Exactly. There wasn't even a country to be, for New Jerusalem to fall down on.
So what did they think it was? Some image in the Bible, I guess.
Well, it's what John laid out. Well, sorry. We digress.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering what the image was that people thought. What did a minister 400 years ago studying this and teaching it, what the heck did his mind have for an image of Israel? You know, Ginny?
There could be two possibilities. One of them is that early on in the scriptures, I think that Jacob or Abraham, which one I can't remember, Ion, is called Israel. So that's one. So it has to do with the bloodline and not a physical space. The second one is
Jacob. Jacob was called Israel. Didn't he get a new name?
Jacob got the new name, thank you, and that was Israel. So there's that connection without the physical space. And then the other one was that in the New Testament that it talks about being circumcised. The true Jew is circumcised in their heart.
Mm.
And so it replaces or it overlays this idea that there was a physical place, and so now it becomes a spiritual heritage because they're all received into Christ by being circumcised in their hearts.
So that's how they get out of the nebulousness of the image is useful. Anybody can project anything in there within limits.
And then in the charismatic side too, just sort of stirring that in, they called the circumcision of the heart the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That is correct. So it says in Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart in the spirit and not of the letter. His praise is not of men, but of God.
And these interpretations come in with the printing press. The Catholic Church did not have a problem. It didn't interpret the stuff, right? It just mumbled it in Latin, and the people didn't even know what was being said. Correct? You know, in the medieval period, before the printing press.
Well, I mean, for the most part, that's right. They did the services in Latin, and then they, because most of the people who attended the church were the wealthy landowners, because they were in relationship with the king and the queen, and the farmers and the everyday people who were out in the fields and stuff like that, they weren't even getting it. That's why they were so terrified, and they were selling indulgences to the church, because they the only way they knew how to participate was with cash.
So you're saying the peasants did not go and didn't go into the cathedral and watch the mass?
Well, they had a special section for the for the peasants in the back of the church, but yeah, a lot of them didn't. If you, Greg sent me this great movie one time called Father, Son, Sister, Moon, and it's about St. Thomas of Aquinas and his conversion into a more authentic quote unquote Christianity. And part of it was that the poor people couldn't afford to play the game.
So they were in the back to receive alms for the poor.
Yep.
And the poor people sold the indulgences?
Bought them.
They bought them. Who sold them? The church sold them.
Mm-hmm.
The clerics.
The monks.
So I get an image of, it's the way people watch Congress. They might vote, but they don't feel part of it, and the business people in their town is the ones who organize the allegiance to a party, and it's all run above them by elites, and they just see the spectacle called Congress, right? That's the way it was for the church, for the peasants. It was a spectacle that ran their world, but they weren't directly having any input into it.
Right, because I think essentially what ends up happening is that that's the way it shakes out with authority, because it's about manipulation, domination, and control.
Yeah.
And so where is any kind of an authoritative posture going to come through poverty, which is why it says the poor you'll always have with you, because the poor are always going to be struggling within authority because they don't have an authentic place of power. Now, in a society, in a commercial society, or in the society of commerce, which is one of the reasons why we created the word anyway, was to do business. But in a commercial or in the world of commerce and in the economies, that way, the word was created to transact business. And in that sense, the people who had the word, the meme is the message, were the people who were controlling the world economies, period.
Right, and the word,
yeah,
what's the word? What's the definition of the word when you're saying they had the word?
Well, the meme, the word is the market, the meme is the market. So
oh, okay.
The word in that sense would be what creates the marketplace, which would be economies, which would be the word being generated in order to transact and exchange business or monies or barter or exchange. So the word in a sense for our purposes in a spiritual work is very limited because it was created based for commerce.
Right, so what strikes me right now is you had people for 1,500 years not even, and, you know, grant there's no time, whatever, we're using what the conventional thing. For a span of a long time, people didn't even know what was being said. So they're not involved with the Bible. It doesn't need to be interpreted. Then you get the Protestants who start reading it privately, and they sort of, they're reading about in Israel, and they don't even know what that is. It could be anything. It makes total sense that we would not be able to begin to interpret the Bible until today. It's only been 2,000 early, the early years for the last 2,000 years. That's what's hitting me right now, that